Last week, at the program given by Nayak from Seattle, we went back a little bit in time to the period just before the battle when the parties were still trying to sue for peace. And in fact, we took the position where Krishna was taken the instructions from the brothers and Draupadi and Satyaki and was preparing to go to Hastinapura and was actually just about to start the negotiations. I'm afraid it's hopping around a little bit, but what I wanted to do was to try and actually find out or illustrate what the attitude was in the minds of the brothers and Draupadi prior to the battle, and to a certain extent see how that compares to the post-battle period. We come in when Sanjay has just delivered the message from Dhritarashtra, which in effect says it's be sinful for you to go to war for all the death that will come about. Far better that you stay as you are now in the forest in a state of peace. Didn't go down at all well, and that's putting it mildly. So Krishna agrees that he will actually go for a final try to sue for peace himself. So he turns to the brothers in turn and includes Draupadi and includes Satyaki, who's with them, just to seek their views as to how they feel he should conduct the negotiations. Yudhishthira first puts his views by saying that Dhritarashtra wants peace, but he wants it without giving us our kingdom back. And he goes through the history of how Dhritarashtra, through his orders, had put them into the forest for 12 years and a further year living incognito, on the basis that at the end of this period of time, having lost the dicing, the kingdom would be returned to them. In other words, Dhritarashtra has ratted on the deal, and the problem has been that Duryodhana has swayed him too much with his counsellors, and in effect, really, he has and appears to have no sway whatsoever over his son. The compassionate Yudhishthira wants peace, but he certainly doesn't want to give up the kingdom. And he certainly doesn't want the extinction of the Kuru race, which is a strong possibility if it comes to war. But what he says is that the situation wise men liken to a situation when two dogs fight. They meet, one dog wags its tail, one dog barks, the other barks back. They start circling each other, then they start growling, baring their teeth, and then they fight. And the one who is the strongest wins and takes the meat. And he said this is exactly the situation we are in. In other words, we will try and make peace, and if we can't, we will fight. He spends a long time talking about the difficulties of poverty. There's not enough money to look after his mother and friends, and they're in a totally unenviable position. Krishna knows their position, he knows them, and he's the only one really who can sort the matter out. And they had a number of allies at the time, probably about four or five of the grand armies, but they were in a weak position. Krishna doesn't mince his words. Duryodhana will not change his mind, because if you look at it like this, Duryodhana won the dicing. As far as he was concerned, the kingdom was now his. The Pandavas had nothing. They had no witches, they had no status, they had no standing. They were servants. And as such, they were banished into the forest, and therefore they had no standing to claim back the kingdom. And he points out there are a number of psychological factors. Having won at the dicing and having come out as the number one, as I mentioned earlier, top dog, would they really give back the kingdom, having ruled it for so many years and enlarged it and made it wealthier, to what they would look upon really as servants who've come out of the forest with no standing, with no army, no money, nothing? But Krishna says, I am part of both of your families. I will actually go to Hastinapura and I will try and get peace that is fair to you and that is fair to the Kauravas, but I won't agree anything that's against your interests. So Yudhishthira says, please do whatever you think is right. And once again, Krishna emphasizes, this peace really isn't going to happen, but I will try my best. And if there is peace, then it will be enormous religious merit. And if I fail, there'll be war. And then Bhima speaks. And he says, do not threaten Duryodhana. Speak mildly and slowly. We don't want war, and we don't want to antagonize Duryodhana. And then he spends a long time summarizing the characteristics of Duryodhana. He's a dirty dog. He was sinful, he's untrustworthy, he's arrogant, untrustworthy, deceitful, and so on. Can you imagine? And he goes on to say that all of us would prefer to humbly follow him, that's Duryodhana, and be submissive to him, Duryodhana, so that we don't commit the sin of destroying the whole of the Kuru race, and that in fact Yudhishthira would approve of this, and also Arjuna, who is compassionate. He went on to say that the last thing they wanted was to have the sin of killing the whole of the Kuru race. Well, immediately at that, Krishna laughed, but it wasn't a humorous laugh, it was a tactical laugh, because immediately he said to Bhima, why has this change of heart? Why do you speak like this, O Bhima? And he recounted to Bhima how it used to be with him in the forest, how Bhima would sit down silently, he'd be fiercely staring ahead. Within him was this burning hatred of Duryodhana and the brothers. And then suddenly he'd laugh out loud, or he'd shout angrily, or he'd sit there punching one fist into the other hand. And he'd often stand saying nothing for long periods of time with a furrowed brow and biting his lower lip. He would generally keep away from the others. He'd be sighing and mumbling to himself. And in fact, once he grabbed his mace in front of the brothers and he got up and waved it around and said, just as the sun rises in the east and the sun sets in the west, so I vow that I will kill Duryodhana. And then Krishna took a different tack, really trying to goad him up again. He said, do you want peace because you're afraid of war, or you're fearful about the coming of war, or is it because you see ill omens? You're rather like a eunuch in that you don't want any manliness at all, or is it that through panic you despair and you just don't want war? Well, that did it. As you know, Bhima had a pretty short fuse. It was pretty irascible, almost at the drop of a hat. And he immediately turned on Krishna and said, why did you attack me in this way and say these things about me? And then he went through, he spent ages saying how strong he was, how he'd killed these asuras, the strength in his arms were equaled by no one, and all the feats he'd done. It did the trick. It got him actually online again. And he said, can you believe it? He said, I only said these things out of compassion. Compassion for the Kauravas. Actually, an interesting thing he said a little bit earlier on, when he was saying how sinful Duryodhana was and so forth, he said how at the end of the Yuga, remember we're coming from the Golden Age into the Kali Age, many sinful and people of that nature are thrown up, nature throws them up, and Duryodhana was one of these. Then Krishna heard from Arjuna, and Arjuna really said the same sort of thing as Yudhishthira. And he put a bit of a question mark. He said, you, that's Krishna, you in fact say that peace is impossible. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, which is surprising, really. And then Arjuna said that anything you do would be done for the benefit of both of us, Kauravas, Pandavas. And we all agree that whatever you do will be the right thing for us. And also, he mentioned Draupadi, not to be forgotten, how she'd been insulted or humiliated and so forth. And again, he said, I just can't believe that there'll be any justice coming from Duryodhana. Next, Nakula took a more hawkish view. He said, hear what the enemy has to say. Then do what is proper for the actual occasion, how you feel, and so on. He said, speak mildly at first, and then start threatening. Bring fear into Duryodhana. And then Sahadeva came forward. He was great. He said that whatever Yudhishthira says is the eternal virtue. But he said, act as if war were going to happen. In other words, no pussyfooting about. Even if they want peace, provoke them into war. And don't forget the humiliation that Draupadi had. And frankly, it is only death of Duryodhana that would appease that. And Satyaki said virtually the same thing. He said, frankly, the only thing that would appease my rage is the death of Duryodhana. In fact, at that, they all started cheering, you know, all the brothers and those people there. And then Draupadi spoke up. Oh dear, she was very upset, very teary-eyed, and she was pretty smart. She said, you know, if Duryodhana wants peace without giving up our kingdom, why on earth go there? She said that it was a sin killing one that does not deserve to be killed, and in the same way, it was a sin for not killing someone who needs to be killed. In other words, the Karavas. Spent a long time going through her humiliation, you know, her noble birth and so forth, and how her husbands hadn't stuck up for her at the dicing, and now this same situation was three of them not preparing to fight. And she said, if they won't fight for me, then actually my old father, King Drupada, and my sons will fight for me. And then she walked over to Krishna with her head bowed a little bit in a sort of modest way. Krishna was sitting next to Satya, and her left hand was holding the plait of her hair on over her left shoulder. She had lovely hair, long, wavy, little flip-up curls at the end, and black, or rather midnight blue. It was perfumed, and remember, hers was a celestial birth from the holy fire, and it said as she came out of the holy fire, she smelt of the blue lotus. She said how Dushasana had humiliated her by pulling her into the great hall, the great gambling hall, with only her one garment on. Krishna replied that very soon all those women who were wives and sisters to the Kaurava warriors would be crying far more than she would be. The next day, after this dialogue, Krishna made his way to Hastinapura, and the day after would be the commencing of the final negotiations. And within 3.5 weeks, Yudhishthira would be king of all the Kurus. And on the field of Kurukshetra, some 4 million warriors would be lying dead. Well, if you have been, thanks for listening.